Good evening and welcome to another show right here on the Link to Heaven Radio, where we give you the realism and spiritualism. Thank you for tuning in to all those radio stations picking up a Link to Heaven Radio, Achieve Radio, Spotlight Radio, Bob FM, Ghost Talk Radio, and many, many more. If your radio station is picking up a Link to Heaven Radio, please let me know, and I will announce your station on air as well. You can now listen to me on Bob FM in Canada, coming very soon, as we have firmed up a deal for me to do a show once a week there. And also, they will be following Dead Whisper, that's right, our television show, around and doing all our filming. They're going to broadcast live as we do our filming to all the listeners. That is bringing you much closer to the action. Also in negotiations is Spotlight Radio. You will also be able to catch me on there once a week once we bring this to you. All great stations, all working for the purpose of bringing you the very best in spiritualism worldwide. So stay tuned and find out more as we go along right here on A Link to Heaven Radio. Write to me at RobbieThomas@Kojiko.ca. That's R-O-B-B-I-E, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, at Kojiko, C-O-G-E-C-O.ca. I will love to hear from you. If you have comments or validations you wish to share or a story and you want to be heard on the radio, write to me, RobbieThomas@Kojiko.ca. Folks, toll free. 1-877-876-5227. That's 1-877-876-5227 worldwide. I will be taking your calls just a moment and picking up the phone, so give me a ring. Before we begin our show tonight with the one and only Kevin Smith, in which we will all be taking your calls, so you, too, can ask Kevin questions about his new released book, Gods in the Garden, I like to tell everyone about. There's a show, before we start this, there's a show for soldiers who protect and serve, and it's called Letters to From Home. The email is letters2@hotmail.com. It airs Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Spotlight Radio. That's www.thespotlightradio.org. Letters are read from soldiers to families and friends, and then from families and friends and supporters right back to the soldiers around the world. So check that out as we support those who protect us and keep us free. Again, that's letters2@hotmail.com. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Spotlight Radio. You can hear it on www.thespotlightradio.org. And it's, again, letters from the families and friends and supporters to the soldiers, and then the soldiers back. And we're showing them our support. There are soldiers who really need to hear we care enough for them, as they care enough to lay their lives in harm's way to protect us. So please tune in and lend your support. Toll free, 1-877-876-5227 worldwide. It's going to be 1 hour of power, which will make you look at the way interpretation of the Bible really is. Keep an open mind, and we will open the phone lines to you. The coin to coin his ending of his show, as always. His friends call him Steel Eye, his enemies do too, and you call him whatever you like. So ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to announce, and without further ado, the one, the only, Kevin Smith from The Kevin Smith Show. Welcome, Kevin, my good friend. How are you this fabulous evening?
Robbie, I'm doing just great. And I want to tell you that I hope I can live up to that introduction. But I thank you for having me on the show. And let me just say, before we get into my stuff, this thing you're doing for soldiers is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. These people really do, they deserve really deserve, our support. And I appreciate that you're involved in that. That's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know, they do so much for us. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. And like everybody, like you, and you were in service. And, you know, it's just a little part of us that we can give. We can write them a letter just to let them know that we love them for what they do. It makes a whole world of difference.
It really does. And let me say, actually, I was not in the military. I was international police. But I went, 2.5 years one time without so much as a letter from home or a birthday card or something like that. And it really, really makes a big, big difference when you hear from home. So I support it. I think that's great.
Yes, you know, and, you know, again, folks, letters to letters2@hotmail.com. That's letters to, one word, dash, from home, one word, at hotmail.com. And you can listen to it at 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Spotlight Radio, www.thespotlightradio.org. Get those letters out to those guys and those ladies and those fine people who are protecting us and giving us our freedom. That's what it's all about. You know, Kevin, I must admit, you know, live up to that introduction. Oh, my gosh, you live up to it more and more. You know, every time I think about it, I've been on your show so many times, and you know, you're just fabulous. And I don't know, I'm going to tell you later on the show how I perceive your program. But it's just beyond belief, and it's going to grow. And I got some predictions for you. I have some things I know that are in sight and what's going to happen. I mean, you're about to take off.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, oh, my gosh. You know, we've had very many conversations. You are one deep individual. Now, not deep as in when people think, oh, my gosh, this is going to be related to boring. No, my gosh. This is where Kevin Smith comes through, folks, and he talks. He knows what he's talking about. He's right on the front lines, if you want to call it that. This individual is the Geraldo of Geraldos. And I'm telling you, Kevin, you really are. And that's how I perceive you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Now, listen, to our listening audience, know as much, you know, who follow me to your show and to other programs, I hold you very dear. I really do. Very prestigious indeed. You really are. I often get letters from listeners asking, when are you going to be back on the Kevin Smith Show? And, you know, I think it's not me they want to hear, Kevin. It's you. I really do. It's just, it's phenomenal, the programming you bring forth. And again, I'm going to go into the second part of it, the question here. I would compare you to Brian Gumbel and a no-nonsense attack to, like, primetime, 60 minutes talk, like fact-finding and also fun-loving, same-time informative programming. You offer all this. That is one of the best going. You know, it's the on your edge, on your seat. People really need to listen to your show. It's amazing, the programming you bring forward. It's a cut above. There's nothing about any other program. You know, I'm not dogging any other shows that are out there or what have you. But my goodness, man, you have one heck of a show.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Now, when I first started, you know, I was in Kosovo, and the only way I could start was on the internet. I couldn't get on the radio, partly because we had blown up most of the radio services in Serbia during the bombing, but also because very few people there spoke English. So I started on the internet, and as soon as I got to the United States, where I had reliable telephone service, I made a decision that even though my show was small and it was new and nobody knew me, I was still going to ask the top names to come on the show. And it was amazing that they said yes. And so, you know, I said, you know, I want to hear these people. I think my listeners want to hear these people. And whether it's a big show or a little show, I'm going to ask big. And I got big. I got what I asked for.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be stupefied, because I mean it. Oh, my goodness. I've listened to your program, and I've listened to many of the different shows you've had. Very astute, very integral individuals you have had on. Very much in the line of, like I said, prime time, 60 minutes. And I'm not making fun, but I mean, you're the Barbara Walters of radio talk show. I mean, you pretty soon, and I do mean this, you're going to surpass all these other people who think they have a talk show. I mean, you are very stupendous, and I mean that.
Well, I hope that happens. I'll tell you something, though, Robbie. I went through a phase where I was working hard to make that happen. And I was just spinning my wheels. I wasn't getting much results. And I don't know, I can't say I heard a voice, but something inside me said, just relax. And I did, and I said, look, I'm just going to do this show because I like it. And whoever listens, listens, and whoever doesn't, doesn't. And when I started doing that, it took off. The numbers just took off. And we went from, at that time, we had, I think, 22 audience in 22 countries. And as I speak to you now, I know of 59 countries where we have audience.
Right. That's out of this world. You know?
Almost, almost. I want to get bigger than the UN.
You're gonna, and you know how people say, I want a corporate fleet of my own jets. Well, you're going to have your own Hercules. Yeah, that's funny.
Well, I think as long as we keep bringing people the kinds of things that they want to hear, and bring them the kinds of things that are helpful, they go away from the show saying, you know, I can use that. That helps me.
Definitely.
Then we'll keep growing.
Oh, definitely. You know, you bring a wide variety of programming, but it's very, again, I'm going to use the word, astute, very integral individuals. I can't believe it. Like, I've listened to many different programs, and I'm going to be honest, folks, you know, I'm on BBS, I'm on many programs around the world and what have you, but I hold Kevin Smith's show very dear to me because of the fact that it's in your face, there's nothing hidden, no agenda, whatever, or whatsoever, but this is what it is, and it's fact-finding. I mean, it's 2 hours of powerful conversation that brings you the realism in any topic that you bring forward, Kevin. I just can't believe it, and I mean it. That's from the heart. Now, when I'm boasting about your show, is for one reason, and you know, I've been on many shows, and I've listened to many people, and they're listening right now, the X Zone and all these other different shows. You know, they're very integral shows, beautiful, beautiful shows. But when I get down to your program and I sit there and I listen and I'm even on your program, I mean, we hit the soft spot of everything. It's like you find it. You just have this knack for doing the Kevin Smith doing. Where'd you find that?
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe it's because I spent so many years as a police officer that I listen for what I'm not hearing. And I think what I'm not hearing, if I'm noticing, then the audience is noticing and people are saying, boy, I'd like to know this. And so, you know, we hear the high points, but my mind is listening for what I'm not hearing, and so that's what I ask about. Well, what about this? And maybe that's it. I don't know. I just... I don't know if it's because of the years as a police officer or if it's just something that comes natural to me. I don't know.
It's amazing. Whatever you got, it just rings, and it rings good tones, you know. Now, having done your show, and I'm just going to top my head, you know, half a dozen times or more, when the hour ticks down to the opening of your show, your program, mm-hmm. I know personally from the feeling of the program, and it's always going to be a humdinger, you know, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
However, one of your shows are really, you know, your shows are intellectual and informative, to say mm-hmm. the least. It seems Kevin Smith has found Kevin Smith in the respect that I do see the becoming much more for you, and I'm telling you, it's going beyond radio. It's going into television in the area as well. Now, does Kevin Smith branch off this way to create the catalyst of much more thought-provoking shows in the future? Is this what Kevin Smith wants?
Boy, what a great question. So you've got that knack, too. I'll tell you this about me. I have no cravings for anything. I'm at peace with me. If it all goes away today, it's been a great ride. I hope it doesn't go away, and I'm ready for much more. But whatever happens, whatever presents itself, I'm thankful for it, and I'll run with it. But I have no cravings for anything. I don't have a craving, really. I don't have a craving for everybody to know my name. I don't have a craving to be famous. I don't have a craving to be rich. I enjoy the show, and I just put my heart into it and do the best I can, and whatever comes my way, I'm ready.
It's amazing, because you're so humble. And, you know, again, I have to reflect back to listening to your shows and put into perspective Kevin Smith. And I look at different programming, and there's many programs out there. We all know one another. It's a very close circuit. We, you know, showcase. We all know each other.
Sure.
It's just amazing how one can sit there and just do in day after day after day and just bring this fortified showcase you bring forward. And I'm telling you, folks, if I'm amazed by this and I can't get to find the words and I can't bring it forward to you, I mean, it's amazing, because people do know me who are listening, and I do shows all over, many, 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 many. But Kevin Smith's show is just the one that has me, and it's amazing. I look forward to you, Kevin, every time I call you up, every time we slot a show, every time we do something. There's something magical about Kevin Smith. Now, I want to go back a bit.
Okay.
When did all this radio in the public eye start for Kevin Smith? And tell us, who is Kevin Smith?
Well, let's see. Back in the late 80s, I think it was about 1985 till maybe 1990. I did a talk show on a small local radio station in northeast Louisiana. And that was my first and my only exposure to working in a regular radio station. And as I got more involved in law enforcement, I simply didn't have the time to do the show anymore. And so I had to leave it. Years later, I was part of the international police I was actually at that point in Kosovo. And the way the show began was a blizzard. It was so cold that all the electricity in the city had gone out. And, you know, elevators didn't work. We had no running water because the city water pumps wouldn't work. And probably the water was frozen in the lines anyway. It was so cold that the fuel in our cars jellied, turned to a jelly kind of substance, and you couldn't run the cars. So there was no heat, there was no light, there was no radio, no television. So every night I would climb the stairs to my apartment and sit by a candle and kind of try to warm my hands over the candle until I finally just got so sleepy I went to sleep. And it was boring, really boring, and I decided, look, I've got to find something to do at night. And I remembered that, hey, you know, I used to do a talk show, and I've got this laptop computer. Well, at work, we had generators. So I would take the laptop computer, I would charge it up at work, and then at night, I came home and started, just for fun, producing radio shows. And then during the day, while the computer was charging, I would play the show. And some of my coworkers said, hey, you know, that's pretty good stuff. You ought to put that on the radio. Well, I couldn't because there was no radio to put it on. And so I decided, okay, well, I'll just broadcast over the Internet. And so that's how I got started. And that was in 2000. After I'd been broadcasting maybe, oh, I don't know, a couple of months, I got an email from somebody in the United States. It was listening to the show on the Internet. Shocked me. But his name was Guy Johnson, and he still listens to the show. He's a faithful listener. He's been with me through all the broadcasts from Kosovo and Macedonia and Albania and Italy and Vienna, East Timor, Australia. He's been with me through all of that.
Amazing.
Now, who is Kevin Smith? I'm just honest. I'm just another guy. I love the world. I love people. I think the world is in a mess. I think people are in a mess, but I still love people. And that's really all there is to Kevin Smith. Except this. My dad used to tell us, when you don't learn something new each and every day, if a day goes by that you didn't learn something new, that was a day you were dead. And so every day I try to find something new that I didn't know.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, you're not pulling the wool over my eyes. I know who Kevin Smith is. Do you want to hear what my interpretation of Kevin Smith is?
Yeah, go ahead. Take a shot.
Kevin Smith, the individual who brings you unbelievable broadcasting worldwide, Kevin Smith, the individual who has stepped forward, taken the plunge, going to bring you unprecedented written work, God's in the Garden. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but I'm going to continue my line of questioning with Kevin. This work that Kevin has brought forward is just abound with opening eye, thought-provoking, making you think, open your heart, keep an open mind, and say, yes, that's the way it's done. Why didn't I see that in the first place? And when you're thinking, what am I talking about? We're going to touch upon that because I got a lot of good questions for Kevin in just a moment. But, Kevin, I personally would love to offer the open invitation to do a television-type show with you. And everybody's hearing this first right here on BBS Radio. I'm offering you an open invitation to do a television-type show with you that would involve the aspect of thought-provoking thinking that you have and the astounding way you bring things along with the spiritual realm and feeling of me. Maybe one day we could work something out in this respect. What do you think?
I'm ready when you are. Yeah, I think that would be a great thing.
I think so, too. I looked at this for the longest time, and I thought, who would I want? And I honestly did. I thought, you know, there's many people I have out there that I've talked bases with, touched, you know, everything, and thoughts and conversations, and I thought, who would I want? Who would I want to sit beside me who would be like, you know, coin the phrase, Geraldo, or I can't even think of her name right now. She's on prime time and what have you. But, I mean, those type of people who are very, very astute, and you're one of them. You are it. Not one of them. You are it. So I thought, Kevin Smith and Rob. There's Kevin Smith proposing all the skepticism, the real down-to-earth questioning, wanting to know breakthrough field of thought, and there's me bringing the spiritualism side of it. and I thought this would make one heck of a breaking show. And people are listening up there going, wow, that would be something. Well, of course it would. It would blow the socks off anybody.
Well, I'm ready when you are, anytime. You let me know, and I'll be there.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. Okay. Let's get down to heart here of this matter. God's in the garden. An appropriate title indeed, if you ask me. Now, you're going to get this enough through many interviews. You do, you know, the one and only question every author knows will be the first asked. You probably got it on your mind right now. What inspired you to write this book? That is such an old cliche of a question. You know, I've been through it many times.
It's a good question.
Well, it is. It's true. But it's one of the very first ones everybody's asked. But I want you to take a different spin on it, okay?
All right.
Not only what inspired you to write the book, but it's been inside you for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other people have not been able to say this to you, but it's been inside you for such a long time. It's shouting out, saying, I need to tell everybody this. You know, you're missing the conception of what it really means. So
mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what it really means and the implications, you know, what implications do you expect from this as well?
Okay. What inspired me to write it was that, like a lot of people, I was raised in a very religious home. And I don't rebel against that. Some people do. But I'm thankful for it. It was good. But at an early age, I was reading the Bible. By the time I was 15 or 16 years old, and I was not an overly religious child. As a matter of fact, there were times when people were screaming things at me like, "You little devil." So, but I could read, and I could understand what I read. I wasn't confused about what I read. What I was confused about was what I was hearing, and then they would point to these verses and say, "You see?" Well, no, I didn't see, because what they were telling me wasn't matching what I was reading. But, you know, like everyone else, I kind of knuckled under for a time, and I bought the standard line. But the older I got and the more interested I got in what was going on in the world, and let me say this, I've always been interested in what was going on in the world. When I was 4 years old, I can tell you who the president was. And a lot of people can, but a lot of people can't.
That's
true. When I was 4 years old, Ike Eisenhower was the president. And I remember watching MacArthur, General MacArthur, on television. Making a speech. I remember watching Winston Churchill make speeches on television when these people were still alive, and I wasn't but like 4 or 5 years old. But I've been very aware of what's going on around me from a very early age. I can remember back to when I was 2 years old. So that's 50 years ago. So I was really aware.
You're showing your age.
Well, that's okay. I earned it. But, you know, the thing is that the more I looked around the world, the more education I got, the more I read, the more I realized that what I was being told by religion didn't even match their own book. And I didn't let that bother me a lot. I just let it rock along. But then, as the years came and went, I noticed that this debate between evolution and creationism intensified. It has been over and over and over in the courts. Legislation has been proposed, sometimes passed, then challenged in court, over this issue of the origins of man and the origins of the universe and so forth. evolution is, on the face of it, impossible. Evolution, let me change that. Darwinism, on the face of it, is impossible. Because it demands spontaneous generation to get going.
Right.
And then the rest of science spends its life proving that spontaneous generation is foolish. However, Darwinism requires it to get going. That's the spark that gets it going. Darwinism violates the law of physics called entropy. Entropy says that everything's running down. The Earth is turning a little slower each year. We're getting a little further from the sun. Mountains are getting a little shorter. Everything is moving towards equilibrium. So this is the law of entropy. Well, Darwinism says that everything is moving upward instead of downward. It's not running down, it's running up. And it's an observable fact. You've never seen a snake cat. You've never seen you've never seen that next stage beyond humans. If evolution, as Darwin described it, if that were true, then we ought to see all kinds of animals in transition, including us.
That's right.
Well, my eyes tell me Darwinism isn't true, and now genetics tells us it's not true. But it's also obvious that the standard church story of creation is not true. Now, this is where lots of people howl, but that's okay. By the end of the show, perhaps your mind will be open, and you'll be able to see that I'm not saying anything counter to the Bible or to Genesis. I'm not saying anything counter to that at all. The church story of creation is as fictional as Darwin's story. And this is why neither one of these is ever going to win the public debate. Never. It will just be a public debate forever. No one's ever going to win it because they're both fiction.
Right. You know, that's, you know, in layman's terms now, I'm going to put a question posed to you.
Uh-huh.
And that way there, our listening audience can really perceive what you're talking about. I love how you explain things so clearly, and especially right in the beginning, Genesis, how the creation of earth and man came to be. Why is it that people are so, let's say, conditioned to think one way when it's actually right before their eyes, written, you know, right there in a different manner?
Well, Robbie, it's because from the time they were little children, they were told this standard creation story, which, if I may, let me just give it to you in a nutshell. God created everything. He did it in 6 days. He created Adam and Eve. That was the first man and woman. He created them in the Garden of Eden. He told them, don't eat off of this tree. And they did, and that was a sin. And so because of their sin, he kicked them out of the garden. Well, the only thing in that story that Genesis supports, the only item that I just said that Genesis supports, is that God created everything. None of the rest of that story is in Genesis. Now, if you go to court, Robbie, and you present your case, and then you say, here's the evidence for my case, and you lay some documentary evidence before the court, don't you think that it would be smart if that documentary evidence supports your story?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, the church's story of creation is not supported by the document that they lay out on the table in the court of public opinion. So there is a creation story, but it's not the one the church tells. And so they get up in the court of public opinion, they make their case, they throw the document out and say, there's the proof. And when we look at it, we discover it doesn't support anything they said except that one point, that God created everything.
So in other words then, is it called conditioning by society, or is it called conditioning by a venue of religious activists that want to keep us suppressed?
Well, it's both, and the second one you mentioned is the first one in priority. Look, not every minister is sinister.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. However, the way this thing works, whenever Moses sat down and wrote this book called Genesis, he wrote it in language his people could understand. There were no theologians around. After he died, the first person that picked up the scroll and said and read from it and then said, well, now here's what he meant. That's your first theologian. Theology is the basis of religion. Theology is man-made. By definition, theology is thinking about God. So whenever you pick up the Bible and read it, it says what it says, period. And then if you add to that and you say, well, now here's what that really means, then you just did theology. And then when you develop doctrines and begin to teach those doctrines from that theology, you begin to teach that to a group of people, then you form a religion.
Correct.
Now, there have been millennia of religionists, theologians, turning out more theologians, turning out ever more theologians. And, you know, Amway thought they invented that. Amway thought they invented network marketing. No. It was religion. And so we've got thousands of years of layers of theology laid on top of the Bible, and theology is a template. It's not the truth. It's like putting on sunshades. And you look at the Bible through those sunshades. Now, if you go outside and put on a pair of dark sunshades, things look a certain way. Put on a pair of yellow sunshades and see how they look. Blue blockers, they call them.
Right.
It looks a lot different. And that's what's happened. And now, Robbie, you ask about have we been conditioned by these religious activists. I call them religionists. And the answer is yes. Now, you see, religion has reached a point where you've got all kinds of denominations. You've got, within those denominations, all kinds of political positions. You've got retirement programs. You've got people who are writing books and selling books. And so there's a vested interest in keeping the party line going. Now, I want to give you a real quick example of how screwed up it is. There is a word in Greek. This word is baptizo or baptizine. Depends on which ending you use, depends on how you're using the word. In English, we have this word baptize. Well, that's actually not an English word. That is the Greek word that the translators into English refused to translate. They just brought the Greek word over into English. Now, there was a reason for that. The reason was the religionists had been teaching that in order to get to heaven, you have to be baptized by the church. Well, the king had been baptized by the church. So had his family. So had their ancestors. And all those religionists had been saying, this is how you get to heaven. Well, the problem was, you see, that they had been, in some cases, sprinkling them with water, in some cases, pouring water. In some cases, they would dip their fingers in water and put a cross on their head, and they said, that's baptized. And I'm not saying it's not. However, that Greek word has a translation. It has a definition, and it means to dip. Now, when they came to translate it all into English, see, they could get away with all kinds of nonsense as long as no one could read it in their native language. But when they came to translate it to English, had they translated it as dip, they would have been beheaded because they had been telling the king and his family and his ancestors that you have to be baptized by the church in order to get to heaven. But they hadn't been dipping them. Therefore, they were out of step what they were telling everyone is the word of God. They would have been beheaded. So today, there's this big argument in churches about, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? And if you do, should you pour the water on them, or sprinkle water on them, or dip them in the water? What a silly discussion.
I agree 100%. And not only being spiritual from the spiritual side of it, but you being the individual who has written about this on a different perspective, what was shown to me and what you have just explained is that God loves every individual separately as his child. Sprinkling of water and becoming born again, and, you know, you have to follow this or you have to follow that. You know what? I think people might as well just grab a box of cereal out of the cupboard, read the back of it, and translate that as part of the Bible. I mean, you know.
Well, here's the problem. See, I'm not saying you don't have to be baptized. I'm not saying you do. I'm not getting into the doctrine. What I'm saying is, since that is an issue with all these churches, it would seem to me that the people who are running around waving these Bibles and saying that they believe the Bible is the Word of God, it seems to me that they would quit going to these professional religionists and just go to the source.
Exactly.
Just read it. Just read it.
That's right. That's right. Folks, it's toll-free, 1-877-876-5227, 1-877-876-5227, worldwide. Give us a call. You can ask Kevin a question. It's very thought-provoking. It'll leave you thinking, that's for sure. You know, getting back to that again, Kevin, you know my ideal of it. You know where I'm coming from, because we've spoken before. And also, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm very, very proud. I am very proud to be a part of Kevin's book, by the way. I even forgot to mention this. I wrote the epilogue to Kevin's book. It started out to be the foreword, but Kevin had a chapter left out. And it was just, well, nothing's coincidence in this life, is it, Kevin?
No, I don't think so.
He had a chapter set aside, and it was the 17th chapter of his book. Now, it ran from 1 to 16. I sent him the forward. It turned out they read it, sent it to the editor. They looked at it. They said, oh, my gosh, he wrote what exactly, if we put the 17th chapter in, is the whole thing about the whole book run right down to the 17th chapter in a synopsis, more or less, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it just fit in perfectly. And, I mean... I'm so proud to be part of your book. I am really proud to be part of your book. And it's going to be a bestseller. It's going to be something that's going to make people think. And I strongly suggest to everybody, www.kevinsmithshow.com. Go there. Purchase your book. You're not going to regret it. You're going to look at it. It's going to open your eyes. It's going to open your mind, your heart. And you're going to be able to think for once on your own, not having this stuff crammed down your throat. And it's going to be able to at least guide you. It's a book that he walks side by side. He doesn't tell you how to. It's a book to make you open your eyes and say, wow, I can think for myself here. I can actually relate to everything that's going on. Get the book, www.kevinsmithshow.com. Order it today. Now, you know, after that plug, I felt good, but I mean, what is it you wish your readers to walk away from consuming your work? What is it you really want them to say, yes, my goodness, you know, I feel so much better?
Beyond that, I can't do it for the reader. The reader has to do it for themselves, but it's freedom. You walk away from this book, and you have a decision to make. And your decision is, now that you know what Genesis actually says, there's not one ounce of theology in this book. There's not one ounce of interpretation in this book. All we do is take Genesis and explain what you're looking at. In other words, we take let me just give an example, okay? You know, most people think that the creation story, well, and they teach the creation story this way, that God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. Well, what if I were to tell you that we can take your Bible, the one that you carry with you every day, I don't care which version it is, we can take your Bible and prove that that first point of the creation story is false. God did not create everything in 6 days. And your Bible says so. Now, what if we could do that? Would that be amazing? Would that be shocking to you? Well, you see, when the evolutionists, the Darwinists, come along and they say, well, obviously, it wasn't created in 6 days. The Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and here's the scientific proof. Well, as long as you cling to that, he did it in 6 days, and that's it, that's a fact, and you know, I'm not going to budge. You will continue to be shot out of the saddle in the court of public opinion, because people are not stupid, and they're not going to buy something that's obviously fiction. Now, having said that, there's a lot of people listening saying, yeah, well, my Bible doesn't say that he didn't do it in 6 days. My Bible says he did it in 6 days. Well, the only way your Bible could say that is if you rewrite it. No matter which version you have, when you start in verse 1, the very first verse, read it. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That was in the beginning. This word beginning, the definition of it means uncountable time past. You can't even, it's so old you can't even count it. We don't have words for it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's in verse 1. The first day of those 6 days, Robbie, doesn't begin until verse 3.
I can understand that.
So, in the very first verse of the first book in your Bible, it says your creation story that you've been taught is fiction.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and it goes point by point, you know. In verse 2, it says in the English translation, and the earth was without form and void. Well, that little word was, the earth was without form and void. In Hebrew, which is the language that Moses wrote it in, the word was is haya. And I may be mispronouncing it, but that's the word, haya. And it means became or came to be. So the earth came to be without form and void, meaning empty, no life. That implies that it was not devoid of life prior, else why would you say it is devoid now? So
yeah. Yeah.
You have that possibility there of verse 1 up through verse 2 of billions of years transpiring and the earth existed. Some great planetary cataclysm happened, and that's in verse 2. And then what you have with the 6 days that are mentioned in Genesis, what you've got there is the re-creation of the planet, the reforming of the planet. And it describes it pretty neat. You know, you get to a point there where it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. And the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. How do you divide light and darkness? Have you ever thought about that?
Right.
I mean,
that's why I like how you bring this forward.
Well, the only way you can divide light and darkness is to spin the planet.
Right.
So then you enter into darkness, and a few hours later you emerge into light because it begins to spin. And then it describes, if you read it for what it says, take off the sunshades and quit trying to make it mean what you want it to mean. Just read what it says. It describes, as it turns, gravity increases. It doesn't use the word, it describes it. And more junk begins to fall towards the center, solidifying a smashed planet.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is where I'm going into my next question with you here.
Mm-hmm.
Many religions...
Wow.
Take, you know,
Robbie?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, what a fantastic interview. I mean, Kevin, we love you here at PBS.
Well, thank you.
Just wanted to let you know we have Sherry Edwards coming up, and I got to get her on still. She's up in about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
yeah.
Because I thought we had 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I think around 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Well, Kevin, listen, I have so many more questions for you, and I know it's just fantastic, you know, getting all this through. Give us the link where they can get your book and your show.
Okay, the link is www.kevinsmithshow.com, and you can get everything right there. You'll see a little picture of my book. Just click on that, it'll take you to the page. And by the way, again, when you read this book, you come out at the other end with a decision to be free.
It's amazing. And you know what, folks? I'm telling you, you're going to love this book. You really are. It's going to grab you. It's going to make you think. It's going to make you look at things in a different perspective. I would like to take the time to thank our fabulous guest, Kevin Smith. It was but a huge pleasure to have you on my show. I'm ecstatic. I wish you all the very best with your new release, Gods in the Garden. And folks, you can again check it out at Kevin Smith and his new book at www.kevinsmithshow.com. I strongly recommend you buy this book. It will more than open your eyes and give you thought. It will give you opportunity for you to think for yourself for once. A great thought-provoking piece of work indeed, Kevin. Thank you for bringing this out.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on the show, Robbie.
Oh, Kevin, once again, my friend, thank you ever so much for coming on A Link to Heaven show. You made my day. You really did. A bit brighter, and, you know, from me to you, thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, what a show this was, and not only am I so happy to be a part of it, but a part of Kevin Smith's book as well. What an honor indeed. I hope each of you who walked with me tonight here on A Link to Heaven Radio have walked a path most enjoyable this evening, for I have truly enjoyed myself with you all. Till next time, live each day as it was meant to be, full of love and compassion for everyone. Open your heart while accepting everything in this life, and the door of gratefulness will be open for you. God bless you all. I'm Robbie Thomas for A Link to Heaven Radio. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.